yours.
Bless me.
I bless you, Lorne, in the name of Jesus, that you will bring the word that touches our hearts and our minds and shows us the way that we can bring blessings and life and health and richness to others.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Mm. Amen. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you. It's just great to hear from the Connect group about what they've been doing, learning about spoken blessing and how to bless people. And I think when you're learning to bless people, it changes the way that you see people, doesn't it? It can make a difference to the way that we think about situations. For example, 2 weeks ago, Sue and I got a parking ticket in town. It was probably my fault, because I was the driver. And as I was about to grumble and complain to Sue, she said, "Darling, think of this as a blessing to the council. The money you're about to pay will pay the meter lady." So when I did the transfer online, I said, "Council, God bless you." So I need to change the way that I think about situations. I know that. I want to tell you a story about something that happened in a book that Michael Green wrote. Michael Green is an Anglican minister who's in England, very strong leader in the charismatic renewal, and he wrote a book called Baptism, Its Purpose, Practice and Power, and this is what he said. He told about a woman who came to faith later in her life, and while she was being prayed for at the end of a church service, she suddenly had a clear vision of an infant in the arms of a priest with water being poured over the infant's head. And the priest said, "Bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." She held on to that vision, and suddenly she realized the infant was her. She recognized some of the people standing around the christening pool. There were her parents. She could see their faces as she had this vision. She could see her godparents standing there and also some family friends. And it was a terrific comfort to her to know that from infancy all the way through to her adulthood, her faith, people's faith had been praying for her, God had held her in her arms. In our continuing story about the kingdom of God, in our passage from Matthew today that Joanne read, it follows on from our teaching we had last week about marriage. And it has a very short section about children. And of course, children are the blessing of marriage. The psalmist said this, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born into one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." I just want to pause and make a note here. So children are the blessing of the union of a man and a woman. But I also want to say, for those people who've never had children, you can still be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. This is so important to understand. If we go right back to the creation story with the creation of Adam and Eve, male and female, the Bible says this, "Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply." In other words, he was saying, the fruit of your love is going to be a great blessing to you. So here we have some people bringing their children to Jesus for a blessing and a prayer. But his disciples try to stop them. Jesus, of course, is actually very upset with his disciples and tells them that he wants the children to come to him. The kingdom of God is for them as well as for you lot, he's saying. So he blesses them by laying his hands upon them and praying over them. And I've called this sermon Loving Mothers, Grumpy Disciples, and Jesus. So the first thing I want to talk about is this passage tells us about three types of people and what they want for children. The first one is it's what mothers want for the children. Now, I know the scripture said some people were bringing their children. But if you think about it, it was more than likely women were bringing their children to Jesus because it followed Jesus' teaching about marriage. And in his teaching on marriage, he elevated the place of women in that society. So most likely it's mothers bringing their infants to Jesus and seeking, as every mother would want for their child, the very best for their children. You know, women would have heard about and seen Jesus ministering to women, so they were eager to come to him as well. In those days, it was normally a man that would sit at the feet of a rabbi. But here were women were coming with their children and wanting to sit at his feet and to have them bless his children, their children. They wanted him, this is what the scripture says, to lay hands upon them and pray for them. A man called W.F. Adney says this, "The unselfish love of motherhood is one of the most striking facts in nature. It softens the fierce tigress when she's playing with her cubs, and it gives ferocity to the hen when she's protecting her chickens." Someone else said, "The most dangerous place you could ever stand in the world is between a mother and her children." Mothers want all-round health for their children, body, mind, and spirit. These women would have seen what Jesus' hands could do. Diseases expelled, pain disappearing, sight being restored, a young girl being raised from the dead, and troubled minds brought to peace. These mothers would have wanted Jesus' touch for their children too. But also Jesus would speak a prayer over the children. You know, the spoken word of God can bring great blessing upon people. We see way back in the creation story, God speaking and creation coming into being. As the Spirit of God hovers over the water, God, the scripture says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." So when God speaks, there's a response. You know, seven times in the creation story, God spoke and creation happened. Proverbs 18:10-21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." In terms of God's tongue, it's always life is in God's tongue. You know, so often Jesus blessed people just with a word. A centurion recognized this, a Roman centurion, and came to Jesus and said, "Look, if you just say a word, just say the word, and my servant would be healed." Jesus said, "Go." And the scripture says, as soon as he said that, the servant was healed. So the touch of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the spoken blessing and the manifest presence of Jesus upon children is so important. You know, mothers also want their children to grow up and to be happy and to be significant in their lives. There are many examples in the Bible of mothers seeking God's blessing upon their children. Think of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, who protected her son, put her son in a basket in the river, knowing where Pharaoh's family would come down to bathe, believing that the baby would be saved. And that's what happened. And Moses grew up to be the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Think about Hannah. Hannah's another one. Hannah was barren, and she went into the temple, and she wept bitterly. In fact, the priest thought she was drunk. But she was crying out to God, and she said, "Lord Almighty, if you'll only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give me a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." And of course, Samuel was born, And Samuel became a great prophet. And he became the prophet that anointed the first two kings of Israel, David and Saul and David. And of course, outside of biblical times, who could ever forget Susanna Wesley? Susanna Wesley lived in the 18th century. She had a number of children. She's known as the mother of Methodism. And she sought God's blessing for her children. She prayed for them daily, and she blessed them and she taught them. And of course, the ministry of John and Charles Wesley transformed Britain at the time of a revolution. John's preaching and Charles Wesley's hymns transformed a nation because God's blessing was on them, because mother wanted her children blessed. So God responds when mothers bring their children in faith to Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this because I was christened as an infant. I haven't had an adult baptism. I was christened, and I hold to that because I know I had a praying uncle and a praying godmother. And so when my faith came alive, and I was able to, in 1999, I was able to go back to England and go and see my godmother. And it's so wonderful. She's been corresponding to us ever since. And to thank her for praying faithfully for me. The second thing this teaching tells us about is about the grumpy old disciples. Why did the disciples try and stop the children coming to Jesus? Why? Well, one commentator, who I have to say is very gracious, said this. He said this was a loving act because they were probably protecting Jesus from being inundated with more and more people. They saw how tired Jesus got after a full day of ministry. Multitudes of people coming to him, and they just wanted to protect Jesus. So they were thinking that blessing the children would just be a bridge too far for Jesus. He'd had enough that day. That's what they thought. Another possibility is that being adults themselves, they could have the view that infants would not actually appreciate a prayer. They wouldn't understand it, so why bring the children? A more likely reason is this, that children in the ancient world were simply seen as a hindrance and a bit of a nuisance because they disturbed the busy adult world. Although the Hebrew scriptures describe children as a blessing, the pagan countries around Israel had a very unsacred view of children. I'm reading a book at the moment about how Christianity has changed the world. And honestly, infanticide, abortion, child abandonment, and even child sacrifice was widely practiced throughout all the Roman world and all the cultures around Israel. Even to the extent that some even Hebrew people sacrificed children on Canaan altars. Can you believe that? But I want to ask the question today, is the treatment of children in society any different? UNICEF estimate that 1 in 10 children globally, that's 152 million children, are subjected to child labour and exploitation in some form or other, whether it be child prostitution, begging, forced labour, armed conflicts, and early marriages simply for commercial gain. And child poverty in New Zealand, now this is not an election statement, don't get me wrong. It's been significant in our nation over the last few years. In 2017, research on child poverty found that 290,000 New Zealand children, that's 20% of children, are actually living in income-deprived poverty. And UNICEF describes that as child poverty is being children deprived of material, spiritual, and emotional resources that they need to develop and to thrive and to grow. And Tom Wright, the great commentator, says this, in the West, children are increasingly growing up in a world of more and more electronic toys and gadgets to keep them amused because no one has introduced them to books, playing music, or just a good bushwalk. A cartoon I was sent recently compared parental discipline between 1958 and 2020.
In the 1958 cartoon, a child would be sent to their room as a punishment, but today they're sent from their rooms and computers to play outside as a punishment. I remember a few years back at the warehouse, just at Christmas time in Whanganui, walking past the warehouse, and there was a sign in the window, and it says, "The best thing that you can give your child for Christmas this year is time." So to summarize, the disciples were stopping children interfering with Jesus' ministry. They, for whatever reason, felt that Jesus didn't have the time for the children and had little concept of the impact of God's blessing upon the little ones. The third person in the story is Jesus. So what was Jesus' attitude towards children? You know, God is a God of blessing. It's his nature to bless. To bless all that he's made. And as we see in Genesis, God created the earth and all that in it. It was his desire to continue to recreate through the natural processes that he's put into nature, that the world would be a continual place of blessing. But what does this mean for children? You know, when Joanne read to us the blessing today, that God instructed Aaron to pray over the people. Notice it says over the children of Israel, of course, which that was a description for the people of Israel, but I was interested in that. There's the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This was to be a spoken blessing. The Lord would use it to bless his people. It says he would put his name on the people by that blessing. As people walk in obedience to God, they can receive the blessing. And a very good mnemonic, I think they call it, for the word bless, which I really like, is to remember. What did God have in mind when he talks about blessing? B-L-E-S-S, B for body. He wants us to have good health, protection, and strength. L, our labor. He wants us to have work. Work is to be a blessing. He wants us to retire well. He wants us to have an adequate income. He wants us to have security. E, emotions. He wants us to have inner peace and joy. He wants us to have patience, wisdom, and contentment. He wants these things for us. S, social, healthy relationships and marriages, healthy relationships between parents and children, between siblings and so on and so forth, between work colleagues and friends. That's what God wants. And of course, the last S is spiritual. He wants people to repent and turn to him. He wants people to receive salvation. He wants people to start acting in faith and living in faith in their lives. He wants people to be obedient, not for his good, but for our good, because he knows what's best for us. And this is the point of today's message. It's this: children can have a relationship with God just like adults. Children can have a relationship with God just like adults. They are not excused from the kingdom of God. They're an integral part of the kingdom of God. This is what the disciples failed to see, but what the mothers saw. The mothers saw it. The Bible tells us this. It says that when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the children were shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The children could see the Messiah, but the Pharisees, the adults, couldn't. The children saw it. In Psalm 8:2, it says, "From the mouths of children and infants, you've ordained praise." When Jesus was only 12, he escaped from mum and dad. He was a bit naughty. He escaped, didn't tell them where he was going. He ended up in the temple listening to the Pharisees. They eventually found him, and they were very cross with him. They scolded him, and he said, "Why did you seek me? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? Didn't you know I'd be seeking God too? It's not just you, Mum and Dad. I'm seeking God." And in Ecclesiastes 12:1, it tells us that faith is most readily received in our younger days. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When the days of trouble, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Yes, Jesus wants little children to come to him. He loves children, and they can love him too. You know, as I was writing this message on Thursday morning, Sue just roared in the car. Well, she came in slowly in the car to the driveway. She was returning from Bible in schools, and she said to her that very morning at Bible in schools, a little girl had said to her, Miss, I've got my own Bible, and I just love Jesus. Jesus loves children's openness. He loves their wide-eyed faith. He loves their inquisitiveness. He loves their desire for fun. In fact, he says to his disciples, he says, unless you become like one of these, unless you are like this in your own attitudes, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And so this is a major challenge for us here at Hope Whangarei, and this is where I want to kind of finish. The major challenge is this. Whilst we've got ministry to children in Girls Brigade, mainly music and icons, the question I want to ask is, how can we all create a better space for families and children to come to worship, to learn about Jesus, and to start to learn to walk in his ways? How can we do that? I'd like to do something, what's the word? It's prophetic. What I would like to do is I'd like to ask the children to come forward and just to come and stand here with their parents. Any children or grannies in the building, just with their children and the parents, just to come and stand up here. And I would love if you could do that, if you're brave enough to do that. And the music group are going to sing a blessing over you. And the congregation, if you want to join in, we'd love you to join in and sing a blessing over the children. And this is a prophetic thing. What that means is, what we're saying is, we, Lord, want to see children and families come to receive a blessing from you in this place. And if you in the congregation feel you want to come out and gather around the children too, place a hand on them and just bless them, I'd love you to do that. It's not just the parents, it's all of us together. So I'm going to ask the music group to come up. We're going to put the words up. You will have heard the song before, and I'd just love the children and their parents just to come and gather here.